I want to read some verses this morning, just four verses to start with. And I know these verses are common, familiar verses to us, but we're going to look at this morning because it's what's on my mind, on my heart today. And let's look at Colossians chapter 3, if you will follow along with me today. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Colossians 3 and verse number 1. If ye then be raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then will ye also appear with him in glory. Amen. Glory to God. I think we're all very much aware of the fact that we are we're living in very uncertain times. And I'm 58, almost 59 years old, and I have never, ever seen times like we are experiencing right now in our world. It is it's just a very dangerous circumstance all over the world. I don't have any doubt that what all of the current events are all building up to the fact and the reality of the soon return of Jesus Christ. And so we can all look with anticipation and with great hope in the soon return of the Lord. But it's never been the will of God. It's certainly not biblical for us to sit idle in between now and the time that Jesus comes. If he comes next week, he should find us busy about the Master's business. If it's next year, then the next year needs to be a year of activity and investment in the lives of people, in the souls of men, in pursuing revival. Whenever Jesus comes, we know it's soon, but we cannot be distracted by the things that are going on around us. Do you know that the enemy is the master of distraction? He throws everything in our pathway. We've witnessed this. We've experienced this over the years. The enemy, you know, creates havoc and upheaval and problems. And a lot of times it's, for us, it's on the weekend. Almost every time we have some sort of a circumstance or problem or need that we face it on the weekend. It's like the enemy just, you know, he's doing his best to distract us from the very things that we so desperately need to be focused on. So I think it's a real challenge to stay focused on the things of God. It's a real challenge for us to keep our attention upon the things of the Lord. Let me just give you, and I'm not going to relate all of this, just so that I don't intend to discourage you or lay some heavy burden on you here today. But you can look anywhere in our world right now, and there's nothing but trouble and unrest. Everywhere. Right now, Israel is surrounded by enemies. Every day, this has been going on for weeks and months now, rockets are going into Israel, and I'm talking like dozens of rockets that are going into Israel every day. This has been going on for months, and it's accelerated in the last few days, in the last few weeks. And now Israel is answering those and bombing the Hamas and all these various jihadists and Islamic terrorists that are creating all this havoc in the Middle East. It's a mess. It is a powder keg over there of things that are going on, and it's like something that's just ready to erupt. And that's exactly the circumstance that we see if you take a look at the Middle East. Most of those countries, Iraq is no better off than it was pre-Iraqi war. We're back in the same mess we were in, and Baghdad is under attack, and they're burning and blowing up, and it's incredible what is happening in that nation. And then you need to be reminded of the fact that in all these places that I'm mentioning, in every one of those countries that there are a nucleus of people. There are believers and churches there in Israel, churches in Iraq, churches in Iran, all these various nations where they are surrounded by all of this turmoil. There are believers there. You think you're under pressure. What if you thought your house, your home could be bombed any day or any night? The pressures are on in the day that we're experiencing right now. North Korea is led now by a young dictator who thinks he's God, literally. He believes that no one else should be worshipped except himself. He believes he should be worshipped. And he's firing missiles out into the ocean, test-firing missiles. And, they say very close to possibly a nuclear capability. Sounding pretty bleak, isn't it? In our world that we live in today, Russia's rising up. Russia is moving across, trying to take back territories and expand. And Vladimir Putin was in Cuba this week. And that sounds like 1960s. And some of the things there, those alliances that are being rebuilt now in our world. And it's everywhere that you look. Mexico is filled with violence and murder and the border, our own American border, Mexican-American border, is just a big mess down there. Can't control the circumstances that are there. And all the while, with all these things happening, right here in our country, we're imploding. Our morality is gone. Our social conditions are out of control. And leadership, there's just this blank, the void of leadership. I'm not talking about candidates. I'm not talking about political parties. I'm just saying we don't have much leadership in our world today and in our nation. And the ones that are in leadership really don't hardly know what to do about the circumstances that we're up against. It's like it's boiling, it's boiling, it's boiling, it's about to explode. That's the world that we're living in right now. And many of you, the enemy, we're getting closer and closer to the end of this age, closer and closer to the coming of the Lord, and the pressure is on. I hardly talk to anyone in ministry or in business or in any area of life but what they're not facing. Overwhelming odds, overwhelming problems, great challenges in their lives, in their ministries. Missionaries that are struggling, trying to stay on the field financially. And I hear from them often in the struggles that they are in. Everywhere you look, it's as if there are big problems and not very many answers. Now, it's in that kind of an environment. This is a last day environment that we're living in right now. Is it not? It is a last day environment. And so how do you, in the midst of all that's going on in your life personally, going on in our world and our nation, how do you keep a heavenly perspective? How do you keep your heart and your mind and your attention fixed upon God and upon the things of the Lord? That's the question this morning. Can we live our lives with a heavenly perspective in the midst of all of this that's going, running completely out of control in our world right now? I believe we can. Amen. I believe we can. Not only do I believe that we can, I believe that we are called of God to be a light in this dark world. It's always been true that in the worst of circumstances, that's when the church rises up to the occasion. It's always been true that whenever circumstances are difficult and problems are great, that the people of God, the grace of God is poured out upon the people of God, and we are able to shine as bright lights in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation. Amen. You see, the only heaven this world has and the only hope this world has is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the saints of God, the people of God. We're the hope of the world. We're the hope. It's only as we are understand that and we have this heavenly perspective And that's what the apostle was describing here in Colossians in this familiar verse of scripture. He's talking to those like you and me. If ye then be raised with Christ. He's talking about our salvation. He's talking about the same power that brought Jesus up out of the tomb and resurrected him from the dead is the same thing that took place in your life when you got saved. That there was this power, this resurrection power. You were born again of the Spirit of God. And your life was so changed and so affected by that encounter with Jesus Christ that you were literally lifted up to be seated with Christ in heavenly places. Amen. Amen. And because we understand our position, our place in Jesus Christ, then we are not to be pulled down and discouraged in this hopeless world that we live in, because we have to be reminded of the truth that we are not citizens of this world. Amen. Philippians chapter 3. For our conversation or our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our citizenship is not in this world. And because of that, we don't live like everybody else in this world. Our attention, we're looking at life from a different perspective. We are not people who are living in this, citizens of this world, trying to make it to heaven. We are citizens of another world, trying to live out the days of our life in this world according to the will of God. Amen. Did you hear what I said? We are citizens of another world. We are citizens of heaven. And because of that, we are living out our days. We are fulfilling the will of God in the days that we have while we are here in this world. Amen. So he tells us what to do. If you've been born again, if you've been raised to that place, you're seated with Christ in heavenly places. If you're a Christian, if you're truly born of the Spirit of God, then you've been lifted up. You've been elevated above the things that are going on around you. And it's not that you don't see it or experience it, but you just have a completely different perspective on it. A heavenly perspective is the one that every Christian, every saint of God must have. Folks, we cannot afford to turn away from God or away from the Word of God, away from our pursuit of spiritual things now. There needs to be a whole new level of intensity and desire and hunger for the things of God. I know that in the last days that the Scripture says that there will be this falling away in the last days. And we can see that everywhere. People turning away, falling away from the Lord. But I believe that God is stirring up the hearts of people to get back, to just back to the altar, back to prayer, back to being really truly prayed through and seeking God. To be sincere before the Lord. To have a real relationship with God. A lot of church folks are tired of all of the games and all of the, you know, all of the activities some have involved themselves in as far as the church is concerned. And a lot of times it's just kind of man-made ways that we've chosen. I really believe that there's a hunger in the hearts of a lot of people today. And God's stirring up a heart. The hearts of people, they just want to get back to God. They just want to get back to a reality, to know Jesus, to know His presence, to know His Word, and that they want to rise above all of these things that are in this world. Let me tell you, the church is making a big mistake whenever they spend all of their energy trying to, you know, be relevant and identify with the world and just make everything in step with what the world is doing and how the world is thinking. Let me tell you, hungry hearts, they want to be above that. They want to be lifted up above the things that are going on around us. They want reality. They want the truth of Jesus Christ. Amen. So we can't afford to turn away from the Word and away from the things of God and away from our experiences that we've had with the Lord. Do you understand that there is a peace that God can give to you in the midst of this troubled world? Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." We can live above the things that are going on in this world around us, and we do not have to cave in to all of the thinking and the philosophy of this world. Amen. Paul talked in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He was distinguishing between those things that were earthy. That's the word that's used here in the King James. Things that are earthy and things that are heavenly. Things that are of this earth, of this world, and everything in this world is passing away. The only things that are eternal are the things that are heavenly, things that are eternal. And that when you become a Christian, then you are living your life out, the days of your life, you're living it to please God and to serve the Lord. This is a generation that needs to hear from God. And they need a heavenly perspective. And they can get that from people who can walk in faith in the midst of all this darkness and calamity and everything that's going on. We've got a hold of something that causes us to be secure, causes us to be safe, because we know our lives, our futures are in the hands of the Lord. Amen. If you're raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the earth. You know, you can just spend just a little bit of time with someone and you'll find out what they have their heart set on. Isn't it interesting? People have a way of getting back around to what's important to them in conversation. You can just kind of talk to them just a little bit, and if what they're really interested in is themselves, they'll spend all their time talking about themselves. Some people like to talk about diet and exercise. That kind of consumes their world, and so it doesn't take very long once you find out what a person's heart is set upon. Isn't it true? We all have our hearts set upon something. Sometimes it's, you know, family, education, our job, our career, our business, our ministry. I'm just mentioning just a few things. Some of you have dreams and visions about things that you want to do for God, things that you want to see happen in your life or in your family. There's nothing wrong with that, but the real problem is that we let our heart be fixed upon, set upon things that really have no eternal value, that we place all of our life and we're all consumed with the things of this world, and we're not at all consumed. Let me tell you though, if you could get your heart set up on something that's really, really of God, it can change your life. Something about getting your heart set up on something, it can strengthen you. It can kind of encourage you. It energizes you. It motivates you when you have this desire to see God. I just pray that right here at this location that we get such a hunger for revival and for souls to be saved that we get an all-consuming desire. We become overwhelmed with our anticipation and we become motivated to see God work and move in our lives. Amen. Praise the Lord. And by doing this, we can become centered. Our focus will become on the things of God and not on the things of this life. That'll strengthen you. That'll stabilize you. Psychologists say that you should look inside for answers. An optimist says, look ahead for the answers. A pessimist says, look out. But God says, look up. Look to Him. Get a heavenly perspective. Amen. Our citizenship is in heaven. Amen. Citizenship is kind of a big debate going on in our world right now, our country right now, because people are coming in illegally into our country, flooding in by the thousands, and it's an offense to our nation. It's an offense to those who have come in as truly naturalized citizens, because they have taken an oath. They have taken an oath, and in that oath, they have declared in that oath that they will freely and without any mental reservation relinquish ties totally to their former homeland, and that they will defend the United States against all enemies. That's just part of it. It was President Teddy Roosevelt who made this statement. He said, in the first place, we should insist that if the immigrant who comes here in good faith becomes an American and assimilates himself to us, he shall be treated on an exact equality with everyone else, for it is an outrage to discriminate against any such man because of his creed or birthplace or origin. But this is predicated upon the person's becoming in every facet an American and nothing but an American. There can be no divided allegiance here. Any man who says he is an American but something else also isn't an American at all. We have room for one flag, the American flag. We have room for but one language here, and that is the English language. And we have room for but one soul loyalty, and it is loyalty to the American people. Whew, that's pretty strong. President of the United States. Strong words, but let me tell you, we are citizens of heaven, and we need to live up to that. We are citizens of heaven, and we need to live up to that declaration. I belong to Jesus Christ. My commitment is to Him. My commitment is to the Word of God, to the truths of the Word of God. I'm not sidetracked by anything else. My focus. And in the midst of all that's going on around us, you can make a commitment to God. You can make a commitment to the things of God and not cave in to the thinking and the philosophy of this world. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead. That's what happened to you whenever you became a Christian. You died to everything else. You died to your former life. For you are dead. Someone knocked on Martin Luther, the reformer's door, and said, "Is Martin Luther here?" He said, "No, he's dead." Then he went on to quote the scriptures about being dead in Christ. Amen. It was Watchman Nee, the great Chinese preacher and writer, that whenever the truth of the book of Romans, that he was dead from his former life and new in Christ Jesus, when that dawned on him, when the reality of that, they said that he literally went up and down the streets of his little village in China, letting everybody know, "I'm dead to what I was and I'm new in Jesus Christ." Amen. That's the new life. That's the kind of commitment that we make to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not am I Christian and something else too. Not an allegiance to God's word, but also to myself or my own thinking and my own philosophy. We have committed ourselves. We've died to our own our old life, to our old profession, and we've become His. Totally devoted to Jesus Christ. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's your life now. Amen. That's the change that takes place. You don't need just a little bit of religion. You need to be dead to your old life and to be born again of the Spirit of God and your life hid in Jesus Christ. Amen. That you become His. You belong to Him and everything about your life, your daily existence is in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, just before I close out here, I want to give you about three practical ways. Three practical ways. Stay with me now. Stay with me. Distractions. Amen. I said we need to be looking to Jesus. We need to recognize that anything and everything is worldly. Things that are of this world that are they're sucking at you, pulling at you to try to distract you from your focus upon God and the things of the Lord. But if you're going to survive in this last day environment, if you're going to survive and even thrive in this last day environment that we're living in right now, you are going to have to purpose in your heart to live your life with a heavenly perspective. You're going to have to make up your mind that you're going to do that. Let me give you some suggestions. These are just practical suggestions. Number one, seek only God's will in your life. Seek God's will in your life. We all know the verse in Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these other things will be added unto you. And of course, it's talking about the basic necessities of life. Food and raiment, all the things that you have need of. Everything else. God will take care of you. Someone has said that if you'll take care of things important to God, then He will take care of things important to you. Isn't that the truth? If you'll take care of things important to God first, He will take care of things important to you. The key is not get all wrapped up and consumed with the fears and the worries and the concerns of this life, but give your all to Him and to His purpose and seek His will above everything else. Seek only the will of God. Commit your life to the will of God, to what He wants to do with you, and resign yourself. I will do the will of God, whatever He wants. What a wonderful life it is to live it abandoned to God, abandoned to the purpose of God, abandoned to the will of God. Do with me, Lord, what you want to do. And when you really mean that, oh, there's great joy and freedom that comes. Hallelujah. Seek only the will of God. Number two, be a searcher of the Word of God. Search the Word of the Lord and make that a priority in your life. You remember Mary and Martha, they were two different personalities. Martha involved in all this activity, and Mary focused upon Jesus, focused upon worship, focused upon the Lord. Martha resented it, but Jesus instructed her. Let her know, you're troubled with so many different things. You're all troubled. But Mary has chosen the good part. Mary has chosen and she's chosen to focus herself and her attention. You understand that if you are in line with the thinking and the ways of this world, there's only one thing that can counter worldly logic. You understand that the world has a logic that if you're carnally minded, it makes sense. If you're carnally minded, the world's logic makes sense. But if you're spiritually minded, and the only thing that will counter a worldly logic, a worldly thinking, the only thing that counters that is to be a person of the Word. Your mind, your heart is saturated in the truth, and that counters the thinking, the philosophy of the world that we live in. That's why we have to be people who spend time with the Lord in the presence of God and with the Word of God. Amen. Seek only the will of God. Be a searcher of the Scriptures. A searcher of the Word of the Lord. And the third thing, be a supporter of God's work. Be a supporter of God's work. Amen. The Bible says in Matthew 6, 19 through 21, that where your treasure is, there will your heart be. Also, amen. If you pour yourself into, if you invest your life, your heart, and even give of yourself and give of your possessions, and you invest in the work of the kingdom of God, and that's a priority in your life, if you'll do that, your heart will follow. Your heart will follow. Arlene had said the other day that she didn't have a burden for the parking lot. She just didn't really care that much about it. And so she decided that maybe she should give a little bit more to it. And then she'd get a burden for it. Glory to God. Amen. Support the work of God. That's, of course, financially, but in every way. Just get behind it. Get your shoulder behind the wheel and just begin to push with everyone. Promote the work of God. Promote the kingdom of God. Be involved in what God is wanting to do. Wherever you invest, your heart's going to be right there following. Amen. Whenever you allow yourself to do these things, your perspective becomes more heavenly. You're living in this world, but really, you're just passing through this world. You're fulfilling your time, your days, to do what God wants you to do. When your days are through, then the Lord's going to take you home. But until that time, until you die or until Jesus comes, our responsibility is be busy for God. Be busy for God and keep your perspective heavenly. Amen. Father, thank you again today for your word and how that you deal with our hearts. I just pray, Lord, that you'll help each one of us in this church, Lord, to put you first. And know, Lord, that it begins when we first was born again when we became a Christian. Lord, that's the beginning of it. That's when the change takes place. So, Lord, today I just pray that if there are those in this service today, that their life, Lord, they see all the turmoil, they see all the problems in the world today, and they're overwhelmed by that. There's only one way for them to rise above that. That's to be lost in Jesus Christ, to be hid in Him, to be raised up, to be lifted up above all of those things. And we know that takes place, Lord, as we are born again of Your Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, Lord, I just pray that any in this meeting today that are not Christians, that You would speak to their hearts. And I know, Lord, You're already dealing with them. You're already speaking to them. And we thank You for that. We ask You, Lord, to change lives this Lord's day. In Jesus' name.